Well, before we get in the program, Holly, it is time for this week's Joke of the Week. And this week, it's more of a riddle. Holly, what lives in a greenhouse, that lives in a white house, that lives in a red house, and has lots of babies?
Do I have to answer?
You didn't know this in rehearsal.
Is it a watermelon?
It's a watermelon. So I'll explain this. Greenhouse, the outer portion of the watermelon. White house, the white portion inside of the watermelon next to the outer portion. The red portion, the edible portion that we consume, and then the seeds are the babies inside of it.
Oh, now I get the babies part.
The little seeds.
I get it now.
Okay. Well, this week's riddle is brought to you by Rescue.com.
American-made rescue products keep your family, home, and yard protected from pests, insects like wasps, hornets, yellow jackets, flies, ants, and more. Learn more at Rescue.com. That's RESCUE.com.
So, a lot of people have a lot of things in which they do in their garden. Some of them are very practical and proven to be very successful. Others are a waste of time, and we tell you those things that are a waste of time. We share that on our social media platforms, and a lot of people get very angry with us because we've always done it this way and we've always had a successful garden. Well, because you've done other things in addition to what you think is wonderful and perfect and perfection, you add this, but you've done other things in order to make that plant grow. So what you're doing that's been proven inaccurate or wrong, the other thing is offsetting it. So here's some, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, We came up with a list here of what we think is some don'ts. You can always add to this list.
Oh, we could have two shows about don'ts.
Yeah, for sure. But, we got to keep to our time here. So the first one was yours.
Do not work wet soil. If the soil seems wet and you're going to till or you're going to disturb the soil, don't do it. Don't walk on wet soil. It compacts and it gets clotted up. You get wet soil and you squeeze it together and it dries. It becomes very, very difficult to break those clods apart. On the farm, we tried not to work the fields in that when the soil was wet. There was times where we had to work the fields in order to what they call open them up to get more air exposure, to run a tool across it to open the soil up to get it to dry. Then you had the big dry clumps, and then you would run another piece of equipment across it in order to break those chunks up back to a more pulverized soil. In the garden, let's not walk on the soil. Don't work the soil. As eager as you may be to do some work, give it time to dry out. Now, what we have also done in the past, and there's documentation of this on our website, we have planted tomatoes. We didn't get tomatoes, let's say we're going to plant them on a Saturday. And it rained on a Friday and on a Thursday and a Friday. We would take large tarps and cover the soil, the area in which we were planting tomatoes. That rain came. Every other part of the garden was saturated, soaked, could not do anything. We removed those tarps, and the soil was dry to the point where it wasn't going to hurt for us to get in there and work the soil so we could get things planted. Now, you can't do that on a very large agricultural level, but on your backyard, you can cover some beds. If you're going to work a bed, you got to work. We got lives, and you got a weekend, and it's going to rain all week, but you want to work in the weekend, cover the beds with a tarp or something so the soil doesn't get wet. So you can do that.
So speaking of covering, we want to remind you, don't forget to mulch. So mulch is important because it helps. A lot of times it doesn't get rid of weeds, but it can help suppress weeds. And also it keeps the moisture in. It also protects when it rains. There are good things and bad things in your soil. It protects those things from splashing up onto your plants. So you want to make sure you are mulching. We like to use leaves as mulch. You can use shredded paper. You can use straw. You can use, this year we're going to take some landscape fabric and kind of use that as mulch.
I know some people are just, horrified if people use landscape fabric, but also we are horrified at the weeds that we have. Even though we have raised beds, weeds still establish and raise beds. We're not the perfect PBS gardeners that you see in magazines and on TV. We just don't have time to spend 30 or 40 hours a week in the garden.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so then don't forget to look at the long-range forecast when you're planting based on the weather. So if you are doing something like potatoes where you know that you want the soil to be a certain temperature.
Anything, planting anything.
Well, anything, you're right. So you might think like,
Here, a perfect example. We've had now, in a lot of portions of the country, super, super warm couple of days, and then within 72 hours, it's 32, it's 25, there's 3 inches of snow on the ground.
Right. So if you're like, hey, it's Wednesday and it's been really nice out, I'm going to plant this weekend.
Don't do it.
Don't do it because it might be too soon. You might not have that nice weather. That nice weather might not last more than a couple of days.
Isn't there a proverb that says, blessed is the gardener that plants his garden once. No, wait, how's it go? Something about...
Now you're just making
stuff up. I'm making stuff up, yeah. That's what it is. It's better to plant the garden once than the second time when your neighbor plants it to the first. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, don't be that person.
Maybe it's a beatitude.
Maybe it is. But don't plant your garden and then have to replant it because you were so eager to get it planted that everything died that you have to replant it.
Right.
Be smart about it. It's okay to be, you know, cautious.
Right. No, I agree. So another thing you can be smart about is if you go to the store to buy seedlings and you look at the seedling and it has, like, fruit on it already, you might think, oh, this one's going to do well because it already has fruit. But it's kind of the opposite.
I mean, we see this in June-ish, late May, early June, that, yeah, 79% off, and the plant is in a 3-inch pot, and it's 2 foot tall, and it's got tiny little berries on it. The plant is stressed. It's not going to do anything. It's what is occurring at that point is the plant is root-bound. It is stressed. It knows it's stressed, so its instinct by nature has put in the genes of that plant, put as much fruit on as possible. Do everything you can to put the fruit on, to carry the traits over, and then you're going to die. That's what happens. They're utilizing every bit of energy to maximize seed production in those fruits because the plant is not going to produce or live very much longer.
No, you're absolutely correct. So you just want to keep that in mind. You don't want to spend your money on that and then have...
Because you're not a plant doctor. This is all, it's already cursed. You're already 3 strikes and you're out
captain,
before you...
You're not Captain Save the Plant. All right. So another thing you do not want to do is water inconsistently. And you just want to make sure that you are either have an irrigation system, get yourself on a watering schedule, pay attention to that because it's easy to get distracted by everything else going on with your life. And then you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot to water my tomato plants.
But using mulch also helps with this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But watering, keeping your soil at a moist consistency like a damp sponge is going to almost eliminate every single problem that your plants are going to experience in your garden. Blossom end rot, not a calcium deficiency. It's a lack of calcium being able to be picked up by the tomato. Consistent watering fixes that problem. Other problems, improper fruit development on a lot of vegetables and fruits. Not enough water because it's just utilizing whatever it has in order to do that stress thing. It's being stressed and it's just trying to put something out in order to carry the traits on to the next generation.
Right, right.
And do not be, in all the work that we do, and this is the bonus one, so bonus one, you get this one for free. In all the activity of gardening we do, whether you plant 10 acres or 5 square feet or 16 square feet or a couple of containers on a porch, patio, or deck, we are doing this, most of us, are doing this as a hobby, for fun, as a relaxation, something to decompress from the world in which we live in. So whatever you get off of your plant, be thankful, be happy with it. Don't be, well, I wish it was bigger. I wish we would have had 10 pounds instead of 5. Be grateful for what you have and the enjoyment in which that gardening activity, whether ornamental or edible, has given you.
So with that being said about being something edible, we're going to talk about Waltons. We know you care about where your food comes from. We certainly hope that it's edible when you're canning, preserving your fruits and vegetables. But what about the meat? You can go to waltonsinc.com. You can get all the equipment, seasoning, supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created meatgistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, and sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat. You can use code GROW50, that's GROW50, to save 10% off your orders of $50 or more.